cliffcentral.com. Yeah, good morning, everybody. It's Thursday. Look who's here. We've got Sia, we got Pinky, you got me, you got Canthan Pile coming in a little bit later on for the Burning Platform. You know, Canthan is now the head of ENCA News.
Halala.
Yeah, did you know that?
Mm-hmm.
No. He's important. He's an important man. He's not just a talking head here on our show.
Look, we're all still here. We still have our jobs.
What
no one has resigned.
No, no one's resigned.
Yeah.
Oh, well, who's resigned? What are you talking about?
Well, I mean...
Are you casting aspersions? What are you saying?
No, I just have to say.
I gotta say...
After an eventful day, like yesterday.
Who resigned yesterday again? I'm so blank about what... Oh, yes, the whole of the DA, basically. Musi Maiman is resigned. Athol Trollip. You see how little I care that I had to actually think about that? You know, I tuned into, what was it? Because in the car I got my phone, which connects via Bluetooth to everything, right?
Mm-hmm.
And then when it doesn't connect, which sometimes happens, especially if I've been playing stuff off of Dropbox or whatever else, because I do that from time to time if it's not a podcast.
Okay.
Then it goes to radio. And it found 702, and they were like, you know, they were doing this whole breaking news thing. It's like very serious. A developing story is just taking place. And then they go to this fucking reporter who's, we are outside the DA headquarters where it is expected that Musi Maimane is going to make a huge announcement. And I'm like, really, this is your developing story, you douchebags.
Well, I have to say, I was caught up in all of this hub and bub yesterday.
Really?
Because of the suspense of it all.
Really?
So, Musi Maimane was meant to make an announcement at 1 p.m. yesterday.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, there were already a couple of journalists on site, and the DA had put this dramatic black podium.
Oh.
Draped in black cloth.
Oh, black, huh?
Oh, yes.
Like a mourning, like a funeral thing.
And it was very ominous. The entire scene was just that podium.
I love that they think that many people give a shit about them. Yeah?
They set up... Where is that photo? They set up so many microphones on that podium. So now I'm thinking, what is going on? And I'd actually set a reminder for 12:55.
Oh, look at you.
And at 1 o'clock, they then said, oh, sorry, no. The announcements will now be at 3.
Oh, postponement, because they were still arguing.
And then at 3 o'clock, I just saw the most unlikely backline congregate.
Mm.
And that was Helen Ziller and whatnot. Helen just looked a little disinterested, if you ask
Hi,
me.
My name is Helen Ziller, and I'm the leader of the Democratic Alliance.
Yep, you are, again. Yep.
And then Musa came on and made his big announcement. That's
now
all.
Here's what's new.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
So he said, of course he said something vacuous and unimpressive, like, yeah, I'm still going to be in the DA and I still am part of the DA and I'm still going to be in your community and in your house. I'm like, get out of my house. Mm-hmm. I still believe in the dream, blah, blah, blah. Yeah, come on. You know what this is? This is proof. We know the ANC is falling apart, right? We know that the DA is falling apart. We know that the EFF is falling apart. You know what this proves to me? People have given up on these dumb political parties. They're moving on. The whole world is moving on except the politicians. We've all gone, all right, you know what? The less we have to do with you sacks of shit, the better. So we're going to just step over here and you guys carry on squabbling and we're just slowly going to give you less and less power. And that's what's happening. I love it. It's great. We should celebrate this.
It was very... He was using emotional language that...
Oh,
my decision today is not an easy decision. It has been taken after so considerable soul-searching and some reflection.
Unbelievable. Huh? They think we really give that much of a damn. And you know what? The news media do. They play to this nonsense. The news media arrive there and they've got their cameras and they've got these serious journalists who are sitting there. These serious people with real jobs. Look, they paid minimum wage, but they arrive there for the serious jobs.
That's what they have to do.
Yeah. And they pitch up in front of the DA and now they're going to report about the serious... So Vuyo Mvoko had this panel of people talking about how the DA is in crisis, which they are clearly, but the, every one of these people has to give an opinion, and it's, it just reminds me of these talk shows that you get on American news TV about how Trump used this word or how Hillary's got this conspiracy theory going.
And First Lady Melania wore that jacket.
I mean, it's just, it's so childish, and actually none of us care. Like, Musi gets up there, he thinks this is a big moment in the world, right? Like, you ask anyone outside of South Africa, who is Musi Maimane? They go, huh?
Well, it is big in his world.
Yeah, of course, but that doesn't mean we have to care. You know, if you if you wake up in the morning and you've got constipation, that's big in your world. It doesn't mean the rest of us. Pinky, you don't give a shit if Sia's got constipation.
If it's Sia, I do care.
Oh, that's nice.
Yeah. Probably but care to laugh at it.
Do you care about Musi Maimane resigning?
No.
Shut up, Musi. We weren't talking. Anyway, so here we go. We're back into, like, Helen's back. And
I mean, surely he knew 3 days ago when Herman resigned that he's also, you know, going the same route.
Do you think they all have one WhatsApp group?
Could have done it at the same time, actually.
They should have all just resigned. Exactly. Save us the trouble. Yeah. Cause now it's the whole week's story. You know. What is your friend Batabile Dlamini say in the group?
Actually.
You know, I got home last night and I was a bit worried. My sister was listening and she's...
she didn't give you...
No, nothing happened.
All right, good.
Okay,
we'll keep it on the DL.
Yeah, we'll call her the Big B from now on.
While we're talking about the mainstream media, I again, because I'm just fascinated by this story, I read about Barry Bateman's apology, which happened last week. I know, I was in America and it's probably old news for you. I know Barry Bateman. I've been to his house. And his wife is an Indian woman, and she makes terrific food. And the reason I mentioned she's an Indian woman... She does make great food. I went there for dinner. I didn't go there to have a coffee.
Okay.
So it was important that I mentioned the dinner. Anyway.
Not because she's Indian and...
No, but the reason I mentioned that is because, you know, people are saying he's a racist and stuff, right? Yeah. No, I mean, how do you think, if you don't know Barry Bateman... How do you think you know him better than he does? This is what I love about people who cast aspersions on other people's characters. You're saying you can get into their heads and you can tell what they really think. They're telling you one thing. You are convinced it's the other thing. And you somehow, in your craziness, in your delusion, you believe you have it. You can pull the thoughts out of their head and analyze them. Without them even knowing. But do you love that about people?
Gareth, can we also just take a step back?
And by the way, that's the worst apology that Prime Media could ever have written. And Prime Media wrote it for him. Don't believe it. You know what I love? It's like, I bet you if you get in a time machine and you go forward like 3-4 years when Barry Bateman's got his own job and he's doing something different and, you know, he's got kids, he probably needs the job. You go forward in time and you ask him in 3 years' time, you're like, Barry, what, tell me about that apology. He'll say to you, I didn't mean a word of that. I didn't even write it. Those snakes at Prime Media wrote it because they're a bunch of terrified little pussies afraid the EFF's going to pitch out outside their offices. Bunch of pussies. And I'm so disgusted that an organization that purports itself to be a news business, no fear or favor, seems to run like a bunch of schoolgirls the minute the EFF bark in their direction. And you know what? This Barry Bateman is a brilliant journalist. He's fantastic. He probably is the most qualified journalist in their newsroom, so they can't afford to lose him. Why didn't they just stand up for him? Why didn't they just say, you know what? We're not going to be bullied.
He's one of our own.
Yeah, we're not going to be bullied by some political party. And if you watch that video that supposedly got him into trouble... Julius is busy spitting in his face, carrying on about white people this, white people that, the most racist, filthy diatribe you'll hear in a long time. And Barry's standing there and has to take it. And then when he thinks the cameras are off and he switched off his microphone, he goes, you puss. Like any of us would if someone treated us like that. And now he's the bad guy? You know, Prime Media, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. It's no wonder that all of your assets are dropping in value every day. It's no wonder that... The things that made you a great business have all disappeared. And you're just another media organization losing share value every day. Look in the mirror. You losers. bunch of bureaucrats running that place now. There used to be brave people who brought this country their first independent news business. A brave business of people who created talk radio where there wasn't any before. A brave business of people that hired black people before white companies like that could. That let black people speak long before anyone else could on the air, live. That talked to black South Africans and white South Africans the same, with respect. Hired people like, when I worked there, people like John Kwelane, who, God bless him, he had opinions that most people wouldn't agree with. You know, things are quite homophobic and that kind of thing, but the guy had balls. He had balls. He was a stand-up guy. Oh, man, they had such great people there once. They used to interview people in the ANC before it was allowed that you could do that. It was like subversive. That radio station got people talking in this country before people even knew how to talk to each other. Now, please, it's watered down. It's like a poor people's version of CNN. It's horrendous. I'm so disappointed in them. And to turn their back on one of their own, to not protect this guy, he should have a security detail if the EFF is so dangerous. They should hire people to protect him and his family.
Well, and they did it with Karima.
Exactly, and they should let him get on with his job. I mean, Karima Brown. They'll protect her, won't protect him. Ah, sons of bitches. All right, there's my rant for the day. Now we're done. Let's move on. Pinky, what do you got in that that water bottle of yours? Is it water?
That was so quick.
Chai tea.
What a switch.
Chai tea.
Mm-hmm.
Never tried that, actually. Everybody says it's so nice. And it's healthy.
I'm not a coffee fan, so.
Isn't it healthy?
I think it's healthier than coffee.
Mm. Mm-hmm. Got to tell you, Pinky organized this Chinese meal for us the other day. Very impressive.
Thank you, Gareth.
Yeah. She took us all to the this restaurant called Biru in Rivonia. I'm going to give them a plug because they're really cool.
Mm.
And you actually braai your food on the table while you're sitting there. And they've got this, what they call Chinese hot pot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
You can listen to the episode. I mean, it's there. It's on cliffcentral.com. I'm not going to give you a Jamie Oliver review of the whole thing, but it's really nice.
Mm. Oh, don't give a Jamie Oliver review.
What happened to Jamie Oliver?
I just watched a very sad documentary of his.
Is he still fat? He's fat, right?
No, I wouldn't call him. I wouldn't call him fat.
I think he gained weight.
See, I call him Chubwubs.
But he's fat now, right?
No, he's cute and chubby.
Wow.
And the lisp, you see, he's just Chubwubs. He's not fat.
Okay, you like him, but he's fat. Come on, Sia.
He has it's just an extra love handle, that's all. Anyway, back to the point.
Yeah.
He's had to close down his whole chain of restaurants recently.
A whole lot of them?
Yeah. In the UK specifically.
There was one here in Melrose Arch.
I think Jamie's still here in Melrose Arch, but he's opened quite a few in the UK, and just as a business, they weren't surviving. And I don't know why he agreed to do this, but he agreed to have cameras follow him, documenting this journey as to why his business wasn't surviving.
You know what? Maybe he just opened too many of them at once.
That was the reason. And they're very bespoke, they're all big and designed well, and the menus take a lot of effort. So it
people,
just was...
I don't understand this, but people think the restaurant business is easy. It is hard.
Mm.
That is a tough business.
Yeah, my sister had two restaurants, and oh my gosh, it was a nightmare.
First of all, the hours are incredible. Those people are on their feet the whole time, and it's exhausting. Then you got these really, really tight margins. I mean, you have to buy food. You have to make sure that the food is fresh. If it's not fresh, you can't use it. There's huge amounts of wastage. You got customers who are a pain in the backside.
Yeah.
You know, you didn't cook my steak medium. I said medium. You made it medium rare. You know what I mean?
And the staff also steal from you.
The staff steal from you. Oh. It's a really hard job. And I don't think Jamie Oliver's an idiot. You know, sometimes people who are really smart fail in business just because things grow too fast or they can't manage people. Or doesn't mean they're dumb. And as much as I hate TV chefs, I mean,
he was like one of the few.
Yeah, I feel bad for the
first few. Mm. Speaking about good things to watch, I found myself really, really like glued to my screen yesterday.
For?
a horror movie. Uh-oh. Of all things.
You don't watch horror movies. What is it?
It's called Us. It was released quite a while ago. It is made by the same guy who made
From
Get Out.
Key and Peele, right?
Yes. What's his name? Jordan Peele, I
think. That's the thing that Jordan Gord Peele, was eh? Talking about yesterday.
Well, he's known famously as a comedian.
Yeah?
Jordan Peele. And he wrote Get Out. Remember that movie?
Yes, I remember
and
Get Out.
Like, it won an Oscar even.
Okay.
And so he's written and directed this movie called Us. Stars Lupita Nyong'o.
Ooh.
And Lupita Nyong'o is like the mother, and she has two kids, and she's married.
Oh, yeah?
How do I describe it without ruining the plot? There are... It's like us and them. There's the world that we all live in, and then there's them.
Who's them?
Them are them. Copies of each of us.
Oh, you're kidding. There's like two seers?
Yes, exactly the same.
And the other seer lives in the shadows?
Oh, Gareth, exactly the same.
Oh, tell me more. I like this.
And now one day, the them are tired of living in the shadows.
And they come out and they challenge you for the space. Okay, I would love to have another me. I'd love to have another me. I'd say, you know what? Yeah, you go ahead. You have this. You do things.
It is so juicy.
I'm happy to hang in the shadows a little bit.
No, they're like, this is not us. And the them say, clearly they were created by
Do they look
someone
like the us?
Exactly the us.
So they're precise copies.
And here's the thing, in the them world,
yes,
they connect to their husbands, wives, have children exactly like us.
Oh.
So if I marry John today,
yeah,
in the us world,
yeah,
my them counterpart
has to do the same. So they're angry with us because we've determined their future. Mm-hmm.
Oh. But just know that everything that we find pleasant in the us world is horrible in the them world.
Oh no, so it's the opposite.
So giving birth is even worse. So now Lupita's them is even angrier that, like, you made me go through childbirth twice, and then I had to rip my own child out of my body.
Oh my god! Hey, that sounds like some disturbed.
So the them world wants revenge on us.
Do the them people? Do they eat us, or do they try to kill us, or what do they do?
Well, that's the entire climax of the movie.
All right.
They are done.
No. I don't mind spoilers. Yeah, you know, it's not going to stop me from watching the movie if you spoil. And by the way, this movie's been out for a while. Here's
true.
Here's a comment from Sandile. Sandile says, "Us was not that good."
It is.
Hold on, Sandile's not finished. Okay. Sandile says, "They tried to create a deep story but failed dismally. That's why Sia can't explain it. Get Out was way better. Oh, and they eat rats. Them."
I'm trying to remember that.
They eat rats. That's it. I believe I'm on Sandile's side.
No. I think it doesn't have dramatic plot twists, but to just watch how psycho I think Jordan must be to write something like that. It is just weird. And then everything adds onto the movie so beautifully. The soundtrack, which is twisted. You think about the poor child actors who had to be part of this, and they had to do all of these screwed up things.
Pinky, some feedback for you. According to, let me see who this is. This is Dr. LZ. Dr. LZ says, chai tea tastes like twigs.
Oh.
Leaves, cinnamon, and elf toenails. Do not fall for that crap. Dr.
That's
LZ.
Some nonsense right there.
Well, you see, I have to say, there's some people who want to push for all of us being healthier, and they lie to us. Just be honest
really
and
good,
say, you know what?
Really good.
Something is good for you, but it just tastes like crap.
Yeah, this is good.
You're probably the same tribe of people who say, oh no, this is like sugar-free, but it's amazing. You know what? Like, we put in dates.
Oh, wait a second.
We put in dates.
Hold on. On this note, you had the Impossible Burger.
Get in my belly.
All right, so Sia, you know what the Impossible Burger is?
I don't know it.
Okay, tell her what it's all about, Sia.
It is a plant-based meat substitute. And as a vegetarian, I really don't like a lot of meat substitute products because so often they'll say, oh, this is an amazing artisanal burger. So meanwhile, you're eating a fried mushroom.
So they make it the same consistency and texture as meat.
Yes.
Okay, but it isn't meat. So God knows what they put in there.
There are some burger patties that you'll have, Beyond Burger patties, that actually have a bleeding texture to it. Oh. It looks like...
Oh, so gross. That, why do we find it gross that fake blood... We'll eat... Like, I'll eat a burger and I won't think about that, but it's something I love in a burger. Mm. Suddenly you tell me it's like an artificial version of meat and I'm like, ew.
It's probably bleeding watermelon juice.
Okay, so it tastes good?
Well, also take my advice with a pinch of salt. As someone who hasn't eaten meat in 10 years...
Yeah. You liked it?
From what I recollect, I think it tastes as close to real meat.
Where did you get it?
I had it a couple of times in the States. I sat on the Googler as soon as I came back and I was Googling, where do I find the Beyond Burger? There are three spots in Joburg where you can get it.
Huh. All right.
One is in Kempton Park.
Who lives there? I mean, yeah. The people. Live in Kempton Park, please.
They eat Beyond Burgers and rats. Exactly.
You'd be better off eating rats than having to go to Kempton Park for a
burger. No, but it was really good. And it even gave me the same itis feeling that you have.
But Sia, weren't you just excited about being in the US? Like, I'm not sure if you can trust you.
That is why I had to have it three different times and it still didn't disappoint me. Like, what did you call it, Gareth, when you went to South by Southwest? When you ate Mies?
Mies.
Yeah, Mies.
There was a caravan of these two, like, really southern black dudes. Mm-hmm. They were called the Something Brothers.
Yeah.
And they had a caravan, a meat truck, right? Like a food truck. And they were, instead of saying meat, it says Mies.
Yeah.
And you could choose what Mies you want to put on your sandwich. So you want chicken Mies, you want lamb Mies, you want beef Mies. And then they put a Mies, and then they put a tomato, and a tomato. You can't say tomato in America. They look at you like you're insane. I would like the beef Mies. I want tomato. I'll have some lettuce. I have some onions. I have a pickle. And put on some sauce. And they're like, okay, we'll do that.
And it's big and greasy to the point where you start sweating.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Nice. Hi, you get the meat sweats.
Yeah. You get that from the Beyond Burger.
Woolworths cafes sell the Beyond Burgers too, apparently, says Matt and Josie. It's one up the road here. If Sia loved the Impossible Burger, then he must watch the latest episode of South Park called Let Them Eat Goo. If you like a fake burger only if it tastes similar to a real burger, just eat a real burger, says somebody. Yeah, but he's got principle problems with meat, and I think that's quite admirable. Hey guys, I'm not a veggie, but I would give this burger a try. Here's a good video on how it was made, and then there's a link to the video. You need more Pinky on the show. There we go. Some compliments for Pinky.
Thank you.
That's from Daniel.
Kinky Pinky.
Yes. Hey, did you guys look at Living With Yourself on Netflix yet? No, I didn't. I don't think I was here when you discussed that. Living With Yourself? Does anyone know what this is all about?
Mm. I saw just some promo posters, but that's about it. I think it stars Jason Bateman. Paul Rudd. Paul Rudd.
Okay. I like Paul Rudd.
A man who's burned out on life and love undergoes a mysterious treatment, only to discover that he has been replaced by a better version of himself.
There's a lot of this stuff going on at the moment. I'm worried if there are too many schizophrenics in Hollywood.
Us.
Yeah, us and, Living With Yourself. Come on. You guys are crazy.
I struggle to even live with my... Just cope with this life. I would struggle living with myself. Just...
All right.
It'd be too much for the world.
Let's get into some headlines. You want to do some?
Five things that you need to know?
Five things you need to know this morning. In Johannesburg, the Gauteng Education Department is cracking down on cheating as the 2019 matric exams begin. Invigilators have been trained in using new rules that ensure even the latest technology cannot be used to cheat. Apparently, the Gauteng Education MEC, Panyaza Lesufi, says they're hoping for great results. He says, we are combat ready. You know, I don't like it when politicians use military language to talk about kids in school. I think it's a bad thing to do.
This is also Lesufi who we're talking about.
Yeah, he's just such a... This is such an attention seeker, this guy. Honestly. We have a very strong invigilation system. We are monitoring gadgets like watches, necklaces, bangles, earrings, jackets. There was a huge investment put into that space. He was speaking at Parktown Boys High School, where he paid a visit to oversee the matric exams. The school was hit by a sex abuse scandal, of course. Former school polo coach Colin Rex was convicted and jailed 20 years for abusing the pupils. You'll remember that story. And, wow, we did a powerful interview with one of those kids, the one who actually who came out with the story.
The whistleblower.
Yeah, you want to hear that interview if you haven't heard it before. It's worth taking a listen to. Pravin Gordhan and Julius Malema, you know they're up against each other in a hate speech case. Remember arguments in a politically charged hate speech case between Pravin and Julius are expected to be heard in court on Thursday. Last year, Gordhan lodged. I sound like Vuyon Voko. Last year, Gordhan lodged a case against Malema over remarks he made outside the state capture inquiry venue. Last month, a judge dismissed Gordhan's bid to strike sensitive reports from the court record. Gordhan has brought an application against the firebrand politician in terms of the Equality Act. If he wins, Gordhan wants Malema to donate 150,000 rand to charity. Gee, the EFF have had to pay out a lot of people in the last while. They just lose and lose and lose. Every time those guys go to court, they lose. They must have written checks for north of 5 million rand up to now. To Solidarity, to Afri Forum, to people they've insulted. It's just the EFF, just if they shut their mouths, they'd have 5 million rand for their next campaign, these idiots.
Oh, I was going to say for more Gucci shoes.
Oh, that's probably what they'd spend.
For their campaign.
Yeah. So he believes while his remarks might have offended Gordhan, Julius says they don't amount to hate speech. Yeah, you know what? I'm with Julius on this. Everybody says hate speech. Let me tell you something. Hate speech is a very narrowly defined thing in law. It is defined by no less a document than the Constitution itself. Am I right, Pinky? You're a lawyer.
Yeah.
Hate speech. In order to qualify for a hate speech charge, you have to have said something insightful, hateful, violent, but it also has to carry with it an incitement. And if you don't do that, I mean, calling Pravin whatever you want, that's not hate speech. It's you don't like Pravin. And you're allowed to not like Pravin. Julius is right. It's not hate speech. Let's see what happens. But I'm always a little bit nervous when people scream hate speech the minute anyone says anything that they don't like. It's not hate speech. You just got to get a thicker skin. That's what you have to do. The DA is getting legal advice on what to do next.
Well.
From who? God? I mean, really, this party. So Musi Maimane and Athol Trollope have quit their positions, as you know. The party's federal executive must now decide what next. The DA spokesperson, Soli Malatsi, says it will seek legal advice today. Ugh. So apparently Musi stays as parliamentary leader until the end of the year.
And also in his resignation speech, he said, only if my party wishes me to. Mm. Something along those lines. I just don't like, whatever, we can get into it in the burning platform. Mm. But he's so like, oh, me. Such a noble guy. Yeah, you know, I will be still, here for the cause.
He's still pretending to be a politician. He's acting. He's playing a role. He thinks he's in a soap opera or something, and he's pretending to be a politician.
I would
this
have...
Part of the problem with him is people didn't believe him. You know, this is let's save it for the burning platform.
I would have more confidence in some of these leaders if they really just buckled down and stepped up in their positions. Like, you know what? It's screwed up that X and Y and Z happened, and this is why I'm not going to be a part of it, and I move on. Goodbye, full stop. If he dares try to start a political party at this point.
Oh, please. No one's going to... Who's going to go with him? All right, a digital beehive may be the next step to help understand why the number of bees and other pollinating insects is falling rapidly. Apparently in Sweden, what they've done is they've connected 160,000 bees to the internet so they can monitor them and see what they're up to.
Oh.
These poor bees, you imagine. And be followed around by freaky Swedish people on the internet. Anyway, apparently the idea here is that they're going to track the number of bees, how viable the community is, how much honey they produce, etc. So who knows? We might be able to discover something interesting here. Mm. And they've attached these tiny little beads to the bees, and the bees don't even know they're there. And well, that's what they say. But, you know, for a bee, a tiny little bead might be extremely heavy. You put a backpack on someone and make them run up a hill, you know? These poor animals.
The bees don't even know they're there. Oh. Someone put a backpack on you.
Exactly. Anyway, so they're going to get under the hood of the beehive and understand more about why the bee population is decreasing, how we can help. And we cannot afford to lose these little insects. They, every flowering plant in the world, well, not all, but most of them, rely on these insects to pollinate them. And the bees are a huge part of that population of insects that do this. And then this weird, weird story from the UK. There's a big murder investigation. Did you hear about this? 39 dead bodies were found on Wednesday in a refrigerated truck. This is people, the human trafficking, right? Because the corpses were found in a truck container in an industrial park in East London. That's not East London, South Africa, but the east of the city of London in the UK. The local Essex police force, which is working with immigration officials, said their initial priority was to try and identify the victims. At this stage, 38 adults and one teenager. The truck driver, 25-year-old man from Northern Ireland, has been arrested on suspicion of murder. Boris said, "This is an unimaginable tragedy and truly heartbreaking." He said, "The perpetrators of people smuggling, trading in people's lives, should be hunted down and brought to justice." Police are called to the scene at the Waterglade Industrial Park at 1:40 a.m. Officers in white forensic suits could be seen working with a truck, and a white tent was erected outside.
Mm.
Yes, they're going to try and identify the victims. Pretty scary, right?
So twisted.
39 bodies. Yo. All right, a couple of messages that have come in this morning. Musi will probably be sacked as parliamentary leader based on some of his remarks yesterday. I don't think he'll see the year out, Carl. All right, Carl. Comment from Vanna, who says, "I'm picturing 160,000 bees wearing Fitbits and trying to reach their vitality honey steps every day." That's kind of what I think they're going to... Those poor bees. Morning, breaking news. The lorry, yeah, with the 39 bodies. Thank you very much. So this is a bit of an update here from Brendan this morning. Gareth, I think you should talk like that from now on. What, like?
Voyo?
Voyo voco. Okay, I'll try. It's hard. It's hard work. That's why he gets paid big money. Us is phenomenal. Someone agreeing with you, Sia.
I'm telling you.
Yeah, this is Jessica. She says, "Us was a great movie. If you didn't love it, you probably didn't get it on some level. Loads of allegory, layers of meaning in this film."
You know how it's going to end. But it's the how we're getting to the end that is weird.
Lupita Nyong'o playing both versions of herself should be getting her Academy Award for Best Actress. And yes, Jordan Peele was half of Key and Peele, which Gord referred to yesterday. Also, best placed audio clip of NWA ever. Oh, okay.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yes. That's a good point in the movie.
Okay.
I don't think it's... it's not spoiling anything. Okay, so there's a part in the movie where someone is getting killed and they have one of those... what's it called? That audio... It's like Siri. Anyway, let's just call it Siri, and they're getting murdered and they say, "Siri, call the police." And then Siri just says, "Oh, now playing NWA. Fuck the police." That's how they died.
Oh, that's great.
Because their damn assistant couldn't make the call.
Very nice.
Can I give you some random other stories?
Yes, go ahead.
You might need to know this morning.
Let's go.
Let's call it the sixth and the seventh story that you need to know today. We have a new online influencer in our midst.
Oh, really?
Oh, yes. You have to look out for him.
Do we need more influencers?
Yes, you do, because this one, I think... it's just
Scholopat?
He's just fun to experience. His name is Liu Sichao. L-I-U, surname S-H-I-C-H-A-O.
You know this person, Pinky?
I don't know this person.
Help us understand.
You're the one who put House of China together. I presume you did. He has now garnered many views for filming himself, for example, downing 8 different drinks in 8 seconds.
Oh, this is going to end in tears.
In another 1-minute clip, he smokes a cigarette. he fires up six different cocktails and he swallows all six of them in a minute as well. In another video, he mixes vodka, whiskey, red wine, beer, and an egg and drinks it all with water. So if you just want to see someone go,
all right, yeah.
Why is he doing this to himself?
No, I think this is where it's all going to go eventually, because all these idiots on social media are trying to get attention, right? Mm-hmm. And the more likes they get, the more they can say they're an influencer and they can try to pretend that's a way to make a living. And some people do, and good for them. I'm not jealous, because I wouldn't want to do that. If you're an influencer and you think that's a full-time job, good for you. Let's see
how long you can do it.
But ultimately, it's going to go this way.
Yes.
Where people end up doing ridiculous and dangerous stuff because they have to keep on upping the ante.
Yeah.
Why would he drink a cocktail on fire?
Because eventually what's going to happen is he's set himself on fire and he'll die. And then we'll have a snuff film of him. And that'll be the most likes and the most follows he'll get. And then he'll be dead. But at least he'll have won the influencer game.
Mm.
You know, it's like...
if there's any honor in that.
There's going to be...
But isn't a flaming Lamborghini on fire?
Yeah, but you don't drink it while it's burning, do you?
Yes, you don't.
This idiot drinks it while it's burning. Good for him. He says, first one of the next generation of influencers. But don't expect to earn money and call this a job.
Oh, he actually is. And that's the twisted thing as well.
For now, until he's dead.
His views, his videos are getting like an average of 800,000.
Wow, 800,000 hits? Wow. I never believe those YouTube figures, by the way. There's no way 123 million people went and watched some dumb music video. There's just no way.
He now has 470,000 followers online.
Yeah.
This is on Twitter. He wasn't even managing his own Twitter account when people were telling him he's so popular. He was like, I don't really care. But his first video was 3 years ago when he downed 7 bottles of beer in 50 seconds.
I might watch that. You know what? As we get dumber and dumber, people are going to do these kinds of things. This is going to be the entertainment of the future. You're going to have people stabbing themselves in the eye. Watch. It's going to, all right, everybody, hi, I'm Don. I'm an influencer. This morning, because of my following has dropped by 20% overnight, I've decided I'm going to take drastic steps.
I like this voice
more. And I'm going to stab myself in the eye. A one, a two. Jesus! And we're all going to watch as he pulls his eye out on a knife.
You know, the Chinese are up in arms about this new viral star. The medical fraternity is trying to get him to stop.
Why?
But he's saying, no,
why?
I'm getting money from this.
Yeah, don't stop. Why do we want to stop? Why do we want to stop people from being dumb?
There's no way he's going to stop. And he says, I don't care what people think about me. I am a peasant binge drinker, but I'm getting money from it.
Good for you.
Go ahead. If you want to brighten up your day in a weird way.
Good for you.
Go and find out Liu Xichao.
Yeah, okay.
On Twitter.
So I'll go follow him. I haven't been on Twitter for such a long time. So maybe it's time to return. This is what's going to pull me
for
in.
For Liu. Yeah.
Liu Xichao. What?
Liu Xichao.
Xichao.
It sounds a little Sutu. Maybe it's my pronunciation.
Could be, hey? Maybe. You know, a lot of people believe... Thabo Modisani used to believe, as my producer, he believed that he had a Chinese grandmother or there was something Chinese going
on.
He was living a lie in his head, but he genuinely believed this.
But look, I'm not one to judge because of my Latino roots.
Yeah, you think you're a Latino.
I'm you know, Miguel yesterday and I felt a very special bond to them.
No, I'll bet you did.
And so I'm going to move on as a consummate professional.
I bet you did. You'll have to fight Pinky off first because she also did.
Can we discuss Pinky's comment in front of the guest?
That happened yesterday.
No. What did she say?
It's in the past.
She said something like, you asked Pinky to rate the guest.
Yeah, out of 10.
And Pinky said, it's like, yeah, he's like 6 or something. Six
no,
on.
I
you use the term
that.
6 on feet or something.
Sure. Sex on feet, that's a horrible
what
thing.
What did you say?
Someone has sex
or
on
like
feet.
Or like his voice sounds like sex.
Pregnant just by looking at it.
Yeah, that's the one.
Very, very good, Pinky.
That is the one.
Now, you know what? Don't be embarrassed, Pinky. See us trying to embarrass you when we all know he got extremely defensive when you were looking at Miguel and he was interested. So don't you worry. It's just pure jealousy on CS
Pinky, he's a child. Save his innocence.
All right. Eraline sent us an email. Eraline says, "Hey, Gareth, thanks for replying. Need to show these Midlanders about Puzza Thursday." That's apparently still a thing.
Sure.
"You are the only person I miss living in London. Don't you want to come and live here and join one of these radio stations?" Why would I do that? You know, people say to me, they think they're being complimentary, like, "Why aren't you on the radio anymore?" Or, "Why don't you come back to Idols?" I'm like, you know, you got to look at it from my point of view too. I know that you either used to watch or listen to me in those two places, on traditional radio and TV. But from my point of view, that's in the past. That would be like me saying, you know, "Why did you break up with that girl you dated back in high school? She was perfect for you, even though you're married now with two kids to another woman." Imagine me saying that to you. You'd go, "What? Are you crazy?" It's a part of the past. It's done. Got to move on, everybody. So, Eraline, thank you for your email, but no. And thank you for your
offer. With peace and love.
With peace and love, I will not be coming to London. Let's get somebody sued. There's one of these new songs by Post Malone called Circles. It sounds like a hit in the 90s or the 2000s. I just can't put my finger on it.
I haven't heard the song.
Let's see if we can find it quickly. Circles, Post Malone. All right, and let's take a...
Post Malone is a rapper who looks like he needs a good scrub
disgusting.
And wash.
He should be dropped in a vat of acid and then pulled out after everything's melted off. Let's see. All right. First listen, hey, so don't criticize me on this one. We did. And, this is David's suggestion that we know this song already. Anybody have any ideas? Message us. Try to solve this problem. We couldn't turn around till we were upside down. Nice job, Post Malone. If you know what the, you know, there might be something he's stolen out of another song there, and if you can figure it out, then let us know. Wow.
If you replaced his voice with like a Robbie Williams, it could fit into the 90s.
No, it's not Robbie Williams. There's something there, though. I think David's onto something. A fan once vomited after meeting Post Malone and giving him a hug because he's
no,
so filthy.
Really?
Apparently that's true. How's that? That is so gross. Oh, what a stupid question and email. Eraline says, you see people not climbing into each other. This is from Eddie. Eddie says, "Eraline's full of shit. She's an insult. You will play Post Malone and commercial crap, but not Bombay Bicycle Club." Ah, shut up, Eddie. Play that in your spare... Why do I look like a jukebox?
We had the top 40.
Play your own music. The days of asking a DJ to play a song for you. What are you, 12? Jesus, Eddie, you have a go at Eraline, but you're saying the same dumb stuff.
I'd like to call in to say happy birthday to
all
my
right,
aunt.
Here's a suggestion. Nikki says, "I love Kinky Pinky. Maybe Gugu will stay in Spain and we can keep Pinky. And why is ass on only twice a week now? We need more ass." Okay, Nikki, calm down. So she says that song's a little bit like Runaway Train. "Runaway train, never gone back. Wrong way on a one-way track." No, I don't think so. I mean, let's see.
Know,
there's another
train.
Suggestion. Someone says almost a little bit like 1979 from the Smashing Pumpkins. Yeah, it goes do 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 do. Da, 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 da. Yeah, it's a good. Ooh. That's a good comparison. I could maybe go along. You know what I'm talking about?
See, all of these things are pre "Hit Me, Baby, One More Time," and that's my 90s marker. So,
okay, more ass and more Kinky Pinky. It sounds like a good show.
It sounds like the beginnings of this of Sex Talk, which is coming back, by the way.
Oh, wonderful news! Sex Talk's making a return.
Yes.
Nice.
They're recording new episodes and they actually want to hear from you if you have any sex related questions.
All right. So your chance to get your sexual problem solved by Jaunty Soul.
Anything related to sex and relationships, you can email contact@cliffcentral.com. And your confidentiality is guaranteed.
Yeah, all right. We'll put it on the notice board here. All right. Okay, here it is. This message this morning comes through from Sean. Let's hear what Sean has to say.
Yeah, fuck Idols. Rather be a guest judge on The Voice. Seems like it's a little bit more legit.
Sean, it's the same thing.
You had faith in Sean up until you heard that?
I love these people are complaining about Eraline's email, but they've got like the same dumb point of view.
I wouldn't say
it's the same thing. All right, another message here. Why does everyone think they can tell you how to run the show? The people who are the people there and the music you play is the music you play. These people must calm down and enjoy what it is, for fuck's sake. That's from Carl. Thank you, Carl. That's a good idea. Very nice. Okay.
Everyone's so passionate this morning.
So passionate. I'm going to play some Post Malone just now. I want to hear the whole of this song.
Yeah, the Circles song sounds good.
It's a good song.
He's not really rapping in it.
Yeah, it's off his new album, Hollywood's Bleeding. So we'll play the whole thing just now, just to irritate Eddie a little bit more. And if you want to get hold of us, by the way, like these people are, 0797482090.
Here's something as well, since we won't be getting into a lot of other news before the burning platform. It caught my attention when it was announced yesterday, but a Paralympic athlete has decided to end her life.
Oh, no.
She's Belgium-based. Well, she was Belgium-based.
This is like a euthanasia thing?
She did, okay. Yes. And euthanasia is legal in Belgium.
Right.
And now a lot of other Paralympic athletes and other athletes who are physically disabled are speaking out and saying, actually, it's not all great and amazing for us to be congratulated. We are actually going through a lot of tough times, and this is a moment for all of you to actually pay more attention. So her name is Marika Verwoerd. I'm just pronouncing it with an Afrikaans accent. It's probably
Verwoerd, yeah.
There we all go. Right,
something like that.
That one. And she had a debilitating muscular disease that she's been suffering with for many, many years. She had constant pain. She had seizures, paralysis in her legs, and she was barely able to sleep through a night. She survived off painkillers for many, many years.
Right.
And it was back in 2008 where she signed papers which would allow one day a doctor to end her life. And so most recently she decided to say, okay, that's it, I've had enough, on Tuesday evening after winning at the likes of the London 2012 Paralympics and further two medals at the Rio 2016 Olympics. She said, couldn't do it anymore.
You know, Pinky, what's your thing? What's your feeling on this euthanasia thing? Again, with your legal background, do you have a position? If people get to an age or a stage in their life where they're suffering and life's not worth it, you should be allowed to.
And I were actually talking about this yesterday. So my brother committed suicide, right?
Yeah.
And a part of me, I don't blame him, you know? Like, I don't feel like I...
It's always hard for whoever's left.
And I know like what he was going through. So when it happened, I was like, crap, like he's finally done it. You know, like I could imagine the peace that he has wherever he is. So
But I do think we've got to draw a distinction between suicide and euthanasia. Suicide, you know, that can be, if you can help someone and they do want to live, I think you should. But with euthanasia, if someone has made the decision in a living will or whatever else, that if they get to a certain... And what job is it of the government or anyone else to get involved, you know?
No, I support euthanasia. I do.
It's quite a heavy discussion, but it's worth getting into.
Well, here's lightening it up a bit.
Yeah.
Pinky and I got talking about this yesterday.
You guys have such light conversation.
Roll your eyes now, because
if you want me to get an office shrink in here, we'll do that, all right?
Because this week I contacted Facebook to allow one of my sisters to have full access to my account once I'm dead.
Oh.
And I've stipulated strict instructions on what must happen when I'm dead.
She's got to delete
to my social media account.
She's got to delete a bunch of stuff, right?
Absolutely. It is so superficial, but I was like, look, honey, if I die and I'm in a full, like, long-term committed relationship, go into my inbox. You will delete any message from a boy. You will delete pictures. If I've posted something stupid like YOLO or living life on the edge, here's to downing 8 drinks in an hour, and then I die, go onto my Facebook and delete that as well. No, these things are important. Yeah. And then I've told her what to do. She must turn my profile into a memorial page. I should probably do a photo shoot now. Maybe like, you know, lying down in a coffin.
A dead seer photo shoot.
Then she'll change my profile picture.
All right. A couple of interesting things on the messages before we go to the burning platform. Screw the DA with peace and love. That's from George. All right, George. Then, you know, boy, I love it when my listeners fight with each other. Tabo says, shut up, Carl. Carl says, fuck you, Sean.
Fight.
Yeah, there's a whole lot of fighting going on here. Can we please discuss Harry and Meghan Markle suing the tabloid press? Are they trying to live with the times and be true to themselves, or do they need to shut the hell up?
To not sound like the obvious royal fan, I'll keep quiet.
Yeah, I don't have an opinion on that. You know, I think the tabloid press are shit, and I think you should be able to sue them if they go too far. But like, yeah, if you're Harry and Meghan, you kind of live and die by the press, because if you don't get attention, what's the point of you? I mean, you know, Harry doesn't have any real constitutional duties. He's now fifth in line to the throne, fourth or fifth, whatever it is. So actually, who cares? You know. And then I saw this brilliant Facebook post. Someone said on Facebook, oh, you're a feminist. Name every woman. And this guy replied, Whitney Houston. That's great. So there we go. On that note, we'll go to Post Malone. Listen
so
to this nice
is
song.
It.
Yeah, thanks for tipping us off about the song. Even though we can't figure out which...
It's going to annoy us now.
Yeah, which 90s or 2000s song may have a role in this composition. I don't know. We'll figure it out. 1979. Could be. Smashing Pumpkins. CliffCentral.com.